From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Carl Reiner has been making people laugh in plays, on television, in books, movies, records, for more than half a century.
Hey, Sid, you're on.
After all, boys will be boys.
If boys won't be boys, who will be boys? Girls couldn't be boys.
Yes.
About 4 days ago, a plane landed at Idlewild Airport. The plane came from the Middle East, bearing a man who claims to be 2,000 years old.
Your husband's going to let you take a rap all by yourself, huh?
Oh, no, Alan. If Rob knew that I was here, he'd kill me.
Good, I'll call him.
No, Alan. Please.
The Dick Van Dyke Show. Starring Dick Van Dyke.
The cover photos of Carl Reiner's new book, My Anecdotal Life, provide a visual measure of his tenure. On the front is a vintage NBC publicity shot. Reiner, seated at a typewriter table, his back to us, his fingers working a royal manual. He is surrounded by crumpled sheets of paper and coffee cups and an ashtray brimming over with cigarette butts. On the back cover, it's the 21st century. He's at a sleek computer table, the typewriter replaced by a keyboard and flat-screen monitor. The paper coffee cups and cigarette butts are gone, so is most of his hair, and there's a plastic water bottle in the wastebasket. And in both scenes, he is looking back at us over his shoulder with the same quizzical, self-mocking expression. Success has not deprived Carl Reiner of a capacity for self-effacement, which he sometimes achieves through ironic overstatement. For example, there's the epigram at the start of My Anecdotal Life. It says, "Inviting people to laugh with you while you are laughing at yourself is a good thing to do. You may be the fool, but you're the fool in charge." Who uttered this epigram and where?
My wife, who was reading this book on the plane, said to me, "Where did you get that?" I said, "Look at the bottom, honey. It says, Carl Reiner, My Anecdotal Life." I said, "I had another epigram written by a much more famous and brilliant person." I said, "But isn't it nice?" I found it as I was reading the book. I saw it's part of one of the stories. And I said, "Are you allowed to do that?" I didn't ask anybody. "Are you allowed to quote yourself in an epigram? Who's going to stop you?"
Yes, but you're actually quoting yourself from something that one couldn't have read yet at that point.
That's before
it actually appears in the book, you use that as the epigram.
Even if you didn't use it in the book, it wouldn't make sense. I'm hoping somebody else uses it in their book.
Tell the story about the corporate conglomerate CEO and owner of a Hollywood studio, Charles Bluthorn, and his idea for a movie.
Oh, I was working at Paramount. I'd done a picture for him, and he invited my wife and I to the Dominican Republic for Christmas. And when we got there, he said, "All right." By the way, he had a strange, wonderful Hungarian, Polish, or German accent. I don't know what influences, but he rolled his R's, and he never called me Carl. He called me Reiner. He gritted his teeth. His mouth went to one side, and he showed like a snarl. He had like fangs on one side, and he always says, "Reiner, shake my hand." I said, "Why?" He said, "I got a picture you'll want to do because of the star. I got a star, the biggest star in the firmament."
The biggest star in the world. This was
in the world. Anyway, so I said, "Well, who is it?" He said, "Shake my hand." I said, "Well, can't shake your hand until I know it is." This kept on all weekend until the final day. I said, "If I guess it, will you tell me who it is?" He says, "No, but I will shake my head. I won't tell you. I will put my hand, give you a thumbs up." It's something like. So I guess every star in the world, Streisand, Paul Newman, you know, you name it, De Niro. "No, not him, not him. Bigger, bigger, bigger.
Bigger than that is.
Bigger, bigger. Reiner, shake my hand." I wouldn't shake his hand. Finally, I said, "I can't shake your hand." He says, "All right, Fidel Castro." I said, "Fidel Castro?" I said, "He's the biggest star in the world. He's, you make an announcement, you got Fidel Castro starring in a movie, they'll run to see it." What had happened, he had visited Fidel Castro to make a deal to maybe do the Bad News Bears in Cuba. American, yeah, it was true. And yes, Fidel yes, Castro, yeah. Well, he said, Fidel Castro, man, be in the picture. He'll do a couple of scenes for you. And I said to him, I said, Mr. Castro seems very busy. He's making long speeches and he has a country to run. I said, I'm always on schedule. I have never done a schedule where I didn't turn back money. I said, I know I'm going to schedule Mr. Castro for one day. He's not going to show up. He's going to be busy making a speech and I'm going to be over budget. I was making an excuse not to do it anyway.
Now, you probably wouldn't guess which episode in the career of this man who turned down Fidel Castro's star vehicle, who played second banana to Sid Caesar and straight man to Mel Brooks, the author of Enter Laughing, the director of Where's Papa, the producer of The Dick Van Dyke Show, you probably wouldn't guess which of his works gets the most number of pages devoted to it in his book, 15. It's his play, Something Different, arguably Carl Reiner's only failure.
You know, it's the successes, when somebody compliments on something you've done well, there's nothing more to say about it. That's it. But things that don't work, you learn more from things that don't work, and the pain is deeper. There's no pain when it works. The residual effect of pain lasts much longer than the residual effect of happiness. Why it hurt is that the play, when it was in Boston, was selling out, and we got to New York, and it was doing very well in previews. And then, this is interesting for many people who work on Broadway. We still feel that the New York Times critic is the most important critic that you can get. If you don't have the Times, you don't have a box office.
And you happened to catch Clive Barnes on his first play that he was reviewing on Broadway?
Yeah, Clive Barnes was the dance reviewer. It was the first time he reviewed a play because Walter Kerr, who was the original, theater reviewer, had graduated to the Sunday section. And so he gave us a non-review. It was a description rather than a review. And it did nothing for us. A little business came in. And it wasn't until 3 weeks later that Walter Kerr did a follow-up piece and said it was the funniest thing that's ever been on Broadway, went on and on and on. Yeah. And a lot of things happened. Groucho Marx once saw it and got up and stopped the audience from applauding at the very end to make a speech and tell people, go out and tell your friends that this is the funniest thing. And all of these things mitigated to saying, it's going to work. And then it ran 100 performances and disappeared. And it's very difficult to get another. Every once in a while, somebody will do it, like I think it was done in Chicago a couple of days. But I had written myself into a problem of casting. There are four sets of identical twins, little ones from 7 or 8, 9 years old, and it made it a little difficult. So, but
you must put it on in a very large city to begin with. You have to have a large population pool that you're drawing from in order to cast.
Anyway, it was pretty crazy, but to this day I think of it fondly. But with pain.
No, yeah. I would have thought. Somehow, I would have thought that the pain would have just gone away and been forgotten in light of everything else that went so wonderfully well. And
I'm not pained by it anymore. As a matter of fact, I now laugh along with you because it's in print now, and I can read it and say, "Oh, this is funny."
There you go, Carl Reiner. Thank you for coming to talk with us about your book, My Anecdotal Life, a memoir.
Thank you.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.